And I'm very pleased to welcome Catherine Acey, who's with the Estrella Lesbian Foundation for Justice, and also Samira Saraya, who is with ASWAT, which is a Palestinian lesbian organization. So welcome both of you to FIRE. And Catherine, can I ask you to start and talk about, here we are, 2008, at the AWD conference, and what do you see here in terms, I mean, I see a much stronger presence of lesbians, but how is it for you to see this and then look back? I understand that Estrella is the oldest women's funding organization at this point, and as you look back through the years, what are some of the changes you see?
Well, thank you for inviting us here today. Estrella actually is 31 years old and is a women's foundation, a lesbian foundation that focuses on lesbians of color and trans people of color and movement building in our grant making in the Global Southeast and also in the United States. This is my third AWD conference, so I definitely think compared to the first one that I was at 6 years ago, there's a greater lesbian visibility, certainly in terms of the workshops and the panels. I think AWD's always tried to be inclusive, but I think that visibility is underscored at this particular conference when I look at the workshops in particular and who's on them and the issues being discussed. Also at the plenary level, I see more of an integration of lesbian and queer issues and as well as trans issues, which is, I think, something more and more we're seeing in the women's movement. Not enough, of course, inclusivity in terms of trans issues.
Can you explain if someone listening doesn't understand trans?
Transgender people are people who have a different gender expression or identity and may identify in different ways. It's a broader definition of gender as we've known it in the early days of the women's movement, where it often meant male or female. And I think transgender can mean that and much more, or not be defined as either or.
Okay. Samira, will you talk about yourself and what brought you to ASWAT? What brings you then to this conference? And is this your first conference for AWD?
Hi, good evening. Well, this is my first. This is my first AWD conference that I'm really thrilled to be here around to see all the women and, as Catherine said, all the lesbian visibility. But for me, I still have this experience and getting these looks again at the strange one from the others. Especially from, unfortunately, from Arab organizations and Muslim organizations. As I understand, there's a lot of work still to do. For me, I'm involved in ASWAT from the first moment. I'm one of the co-founders 6 years ago. We came to be together out of the need to have safe space for all our identities as women and as lesbians and as Palestinians, because from the way where I live in Israel, there's the Jewish organization that we are as Palestinians kind of unwelcomed, and if we are welcomed there, it's in a condition to leave our politics outside of the organization. And out of this need that we need a place for all our identities, the ASWAT group came together. We started at an E-list in the middle of 2002, and in the beginning in 2003, we began meeting as a social group, and very fast we realized that we need to get organized so we can make this change. The society that we grow with was a total vacuum with visibility and talking about homosexuality and lesbians. So this is how we start working and getting organized, and we had really wonderful projects. And maybe I will say you asked about changing and achievement and difficulties. Maybe I start with the difficulties, but there's also huge achievement for us for visibility for lesbians and gay women in the Arab society and in the women movement in Israel-Palestine. 2 weeks ago, maybe, we have a study day with the Ministry of Education in the Arab community in Israel. And for us, it was a very, it was really challenging because we realized that we are that the homophobia is even more than we imagine. But for us to be invited from the Ministry of Education to talk to social worker and to psychologist and other service provider to high schools, it was really a huge achievement for us.
So do you see the change in the 6 years that Aswad has been going? Do you see the change? You mentioned a little bit about the change outside in terms of recognition and so on. What about the change within for you as a group? What do you see as far as the evolution of the Aswad group as it becomes more visible?
As I said before, still a lot of work to go and to do, but I want to tell you a story. I'm good with stories. So almost a month ago, we attend a human rights festival or whatever that we put there our stand, and there were young students that they are studying to be a lawyers. How you call it? To be a lawyers. And we asked them, do you know what the meaning of the word mithliyi? This is the word that we can claim again to describe homosexuality, and this is a word in Arabic that do not have the bad connotation of the words that they used before. And one of the students, that he was maybe 22 or 23, and he said, yeah, this is obvious. And I was smiling and really thrilled and said, no, you don't know how much is not obvious and not taken as granted, because this word 5 years ago was unknown, that people do not know it, and now people and students in high schools know this word. And so for us, maybe it's maybe it sounds and it looks like a small thing, but for me it's a huge thing to see this generation that coming, and this is only the change of the last 5 years, a hard work to claim our space in the society.
And how is it for you personally? How is it today compared with when you first, I believe, I remember interviewing your group back in 2005, and you talked about meeting in a house and almost having to be covert, etc.
Yeah, it was my house in Tel Aviv, my house and Rauda's house. We shared the same apartment. That meeting, the feeling that we had at that meeting, it's indescribable. Still, even 6 years ago, 6 years after, I'm trying to describe the feeling that we had there. That, as a friend said to me, it's like coming back to home that you didn't know that it's there. So this feeling still the same for every woman that come for the first time, and even after that. And for me, it's still, of course, there's the challenges that you need to build something and to work all the time. And not every time you had the love of the people around. Not talking about the organization, but when you work with other people and with the society, but still it's. It's feeling of a home that now we own it, we have it, something that even we didn't know before that it exists.
Catherine, what do you see with the different organizations that are funded by Australia in terms of the connections among the group and the kinds of things, especially with organizations such as Samira's organization with Aswad, which is obviously a very unique phenomenon coming out of Palestine, etc.? What do you see as some of the connections among these different groups and processes?
Well, first I want to just say how honored we are to fund the work of OSWAT and to watch how they've evolved, but how courageous they have been, not only in Palestine and Israel, but as role models of courage for the rest of the region, and I would say the rest of the world. These are really brave, smart women. I think there's tremendous connections. We see it all the time, more and more. I think a great example is OSWAT and Gauls recently did a joint tour. They planned it together. I think it was very strategic that here you had two groups separated by, you know, continents who found each other and came to the United States, did education meetings across the United States and fundraising, and Australia was able to host them in New York City. But I think even broader, when I see the groups that are here, there are many Australia grantee partners at this conference, and Australia and some of the other women's funds have helped get the groups here, and to see how the groups are making the connections with each other. In the United States, as well as in the Global South and East, we have been trying to do what we call movement-building grants, is to also give groups multi-year grants of higher amounts, recognizing how they are trying to build their organizational as well as their political capacity. And so often the queer groups, particularly those led by women, lesbians, queer women, are tremendously under-resourced. But they tend to do a lot with what they have. And I think OSWAT's a really good example of that. I think also what connects these groups is that we see them all doing work that we consider social justice feminism. And for us, that means really connecting issues in their community. So it's not only about the queerness, it's not only about being women, but it's also about issues of class and gender identity and expression, and really being involved with their home communities in a way. So perhaps leading with the queer issues, which are so important, with the sexuality issues, and sometimes, you know, having to suffer the pain of rejection by family and community, but not giving up. But I think a big connection, whether the groups know themselves, know each other, that is that they are really fighting for a broader human rights agenda.
What do you see in terms of backlash, especially as it relates to the rise of fundamentalism with many religions, but particularly Islam? And I can hand it to either one of you. What do you see as far as backlash? And even Samira, what you talked about in terms of feeling surprised, or it was hard to see the Arab women's groups here and the way they reacted to you, if that's some of the same backlash.
Well, I'm going to talk about the backlash in the United States, since there's a recent backlash. We just had a wonderful presidential election and elected our first African-American president. Which is a great triumph. Some people think now we've solved the issue of race and racism. I think we've only begun in many ways. But the backlash in terms of queers, there were many amendments. The most prominent one, Proposition 8, which got passed in California, that basically undid what the Supreme Court of the state had ruled in favor of, which was the right of queers to marry, same-sex marriage. And the leaders of the backlash for the queer community were actually the Mormons. Of the money raised, the Mormon Church was responsible, I believe, for more than 50% of the tens of millions of dollars raised. So when we talk about religious backlash, we have to look at it. I think there's a general fundamentalist religious backlash that plays out differently in different places. I also think that the LGBTI community in the States was not prepared for the backlash that they would get and the money that would be spent. And it wasn't only the Mormons, but they were the ones that invested the most. They were the ones on the street corners organizing. And, of course, there was organizing in all the churches. And so we're talking about Christianity as well as the Mormons. I'm not aware of any Islamic fundamentalists involved in that particular fight, but that doesn't mean that they weren't. So I think that backlash is going to be there, and I think that's what calls for. We have to be working constantly within our home communities, local, national. We need to reach out to the churches and the mosques. For those, there are some allies. We have to find them, and there's some evidence that when we do, that there's support. But it's a big challenge.
Well, I always say that there's a huge resistance for freedom movement, and we are a freedom movement. Although people tell us, well, sexuality is the thing that you do in bed, it's not connected to human rights and freedom. As long as we getting stronger and getting more visible, also the resistance of the religious people become more and more. But in some moments or some places, it can make you pessimist and take the hope. But for me, I never give up hope for a change. And I say, well, they have their agenda to deny us and to erase us. But I have my agenda, and who say that their agenda is going to work? I know that my agenda is going to work, and the change is going to happen and going to come. So this power that they invest in denying us or fighting us, I can take it and use it. I give you an example. For the first conference that Aswat held in 2007, for the first book that we published, that called Home in Exile in the Queer Experience, the Islamic party in Israel was really pissed off with that, and started press releasing against these lesbians who's recruiting and corrupting the society, and who are the cancer that eating the bone of nations. And it was a huge opportunity for us. They made great public relationship for us in the Islamic conservative society, that we won't have any access to them if the Islamic party didn't talk about it in mosques and press release and hand flyers against the conference. So we can use this bad energy to make it our success, if you understand what I said.
Thank you very much. To wrap things up, is there anything either of you would like to say that we haven't talked about?
I think I started out with the positives of AWID, and I do believe in this conference, in this worldwide movement. I do want to say, when we speak around lesbian visibility and queer women visibility, well, I think the structure of the conference and the planners have been very queer-friendly. I think there are still attitudes here. So it's like, once we're able to get in places, whether it's to be visible and be talking about the issue, or if it's to get a certain policy passed, we can't stop there. There's the cultural change that I feel needs to come within our social movements and within certainly the queer movement. So there have been comments here. Colleagues have been coming up at different times. There have been comments where people are curious to find out, well, what do we do and who are we, but also have been bold enough to be disrespectful. So I think it's important to engage, not to accept the disrespect, but to engage in dialogue and to understand that we really have to be for transformative change, which is about changing attitudes, hearts, and minds.
Thank you. Samira?
I always I want to continue what Catherine started saying. Maybe I started in the positive way, but I want to say this is very important for me to be here, and again to be visible, because this change, when I make the debate with my sisters that they are 20 years ago they were fighting to go to study in the university, and I remind them that what they had before, I'm doing now, but in different level. so the change it will come. Nothing in this earth it stay the same. You know, sea become dry and mountains do not exist in some places and other. So even these huge things that we can think about it, mountain, will not stay the same. And also the society and the homes, the feeling and the attitude toward homosexuality. So I believe in change. And I say that this is, well, I have four points to say. Well, first of all, I won't take anything as granted. Not my existence or not my visibility and not my being here in Ewit. It's not taken as granted, and it's moved me every... Well, I'm a crying person. I will try not to cry. It moved me every time that I think that I'm here and I'm with this amazing woman, although all the bad feelings that can come in second because of a look. And I look about I look at my friends from Aswad that here with me, and I'm so excited with tears in my eyes that I don't take anything as granted. And second, to believe, as I told you, I believe. I'm a believer, you know, a fundamentalist believer in change, and to be willing to do the journey. And there's no way to have any achievement without journey, and to willing to pay the price, because there is a price for this activism and for this journey. But at the end, we will earn a huge amount of freedom and life.
Thank you very much.